For those of us who have been awake, we have been very keenly aware that over the last 2 years, Israel has just fought the most, a war without an end, basically. It's 2 years later and it's still going on. Maybe there's an end in sight, I don't know. But the damage that was done to the north of Israel, the Galilee in particular, was nothing short of eye-watering. I don't know if you have seen certain YouTube videos about the cities and settlements and Moshavim in the north, but for a South African, it's hard to kind of wrap your head around the fact that the distances are just so utterly and minute. In South Africa, we think of a town being 100, 200, 300 kilometers away. In Israel, you stand in Matula, you look across a border, and there you can see the neighboring Arab towns. Unfortunately, because of geography in Israel, the Shiite Muslim enemies of Israel live in the south of Lebanon, whereas those who could be predisposed to maybe make peace with Israel live in the north. So by some trick of geography, the north of Israel took a pounding over the past 2 years, with the result that many communities left or were told to leave by the Israeli government, and then they were just shattered by bomb barrages from Lebanon. Now that things have calmed down, probably post the very successful Israeli attack on Hezbollah, an Israeli NGO called Livnot Ulehivanot was established. And we're going to talk to Missy Stein-Goldman to find out a little more about the organization, why it's necessary and what it does. Missy, shalom. Thanks for talking to me here on Chai FM.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I'm very honored.
I don't want to overestimate the damage that was caused to the north of Israel, but I don't want to underestimate it either. Try give our listeners a sense of what happened to the north of Israel over the past 2 years.
So when the events unfolded on October 7th, Israel was prepared for a war with Hezbollah, which they were not prepared with in the south with Hamas. And already on October 7th, the residents of the north started preparing for an onslaught coming from the northern communities. And with the directive of the Home Front Command, the IDF, they started evacuating their homes. And it's actually very refreshing to hear someone remembering the residents of the north, because they've been internal refugees for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
And in February, the government called the residents of the north and said, we think things are safe and it's time for you to come home. If you can imagine what your house looks like after maybe a week holiday where, you know, no one dusted and no one, you know, washed out a sink or anything. So, you know, people left their homes in a hurry, and the damage that was caused also by neglect, also by rockets. And it was tough.
I don't claim to be an expert in this issue at all, but I have seen an odd video or two of walking tours, say in a place like Kiryat Shmona, and the damage, it beggars belief, the extent of the damage that was caused to towns like Kiryat Shmona.
In a kibbutz called Menara,
yes,
about 75% of the buildings were hit. I leave not to Lehibanot. We volunteered in about eight different communities, kibbutzim, Kiryat Shmona, which is one of the northernmost cities on the northern border. The damage is there.
Substantial, to say the least. Missy, in terms of quantifying the number of displaced people that you referred to, what kind of numbers left? And perhaps even more importantly is, what kind of numbers have returned as of today?
So it depends on the different communities and the amount of damage that, that each individual community, kibbutz, has sustained. So in Menara, for instance, that's the kibbutz I mentioned, that about 75% of their buildings were damaged.
Yeah,
they haven't returned yet. They don't really have a way to return. We also worked in a place called Misgavam. Misgavam, about 70% of the residents have returned. In Daphna, also where we volunteered, probably about 80% of the residents have returned. So depending on the different community and the damage is sustained, it depends on, you know, what percentage of the community has returned.
So from a distance, you know, one hears that people are going back, and then you think about it a little more deeply and you think, you know, would I, if I was there, would I? To what extent is it safe? To what extent has the threat been dealt with? To what extent have the tunnels, the Hezbollah tunnels, been destroyed? Do you feel confident sending people back to try and make a difference, even though, I don't know, some element of danger still exists?
So let me just preface this by saying I'm not a military analyst. I'm not a political analyst. I work, you know, with volunteers. Do we feel, you know, safe? Do I feel safe bringing people there? I mean, I always say, you know, we're still in the middle of a war, and always point out where, you know, the nearest shelter is, just in case. And, you know, thank God, since we've been there since February, things have been, you know, pretty calm on the north. Are things going to heat up? I don't know. No one asked me that question.
No, fair enough. Who knows what the future holds. In terms of the number of volunteers, the demographic of the volunteers, and the kind of work they're doing, just enlighten us a little bit.
Oh, so we have had volunteers from literally all over the world, predominantly from North America. About 2 weeks ago, we had a group of 16 young adults from 8 different countries, one of which was from South Africa.
Good to hear.
Mexico. Where else? We've had volunteers from China, from Canada, U.S., Paris, from France, from Spain, just like any, you know, pretty much European countries.
Predominantly Jewish or not necessarily?
Predominantly Jewish, but not all.
Okay, interesting.
Well, and, you know, from all age ranges, we need, you know, over 18. That's an insurance thing. But from 18 till, you know, 75, I think we've had volunteers.
To 75? Really?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious me, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah,
that's,
people
that's
really.
A surprise.
And students, doctors, lawyers, real estate, like just the entire, just a little sample of nice people doing, you know, coming to Israel, doing just really wonderful work. They come with an open heart, a full heart, that they're here to help, and they're here to be with the people of Israel, to stand with them, to show their physical support, their emotional support, so
yeah,
that people don't feel so isolated.
Yeah. I was watching something pretty recently. It was a program, I think it's called Shnat Shirut, Year of Service, but it wasn't meant for pre-army aged people. It was meant for older people who'd gone off to pension and who felt that they had skills and wanted to contribute. And it wasn't in the north, it was in the south, it was in the Gaza envelope. And what these people were doing was nothing short of remarkable. They were recreating community. And personally, I never understood the meaning of that. It wasn't the fact that they were just repairing a wall or fixing a well or repairing a fence. It was the fact that they were living there and sleeping there. And the message that was sending to the rest of the Jewish nation, basically. And I'm just wondering, is it the same dynamic in the north?
So we've not to Lehibonot. We actually were in the Gaza envelope for a year. That's where we started the organization, the nonprofit organization is 45 years old, but with the start of the war, someone had in the army had remembered that after the Lebanese war, we had fixed up, painted about 200 bomb shelters in the north. And as the residents of the Gaza envelope were starting to go back, he called up Livnot Lehibonot. He said, can you help us? Can you help us bring people home? And we went into educational facilities. We went into children's houses. We went into senior homes. We went into schools where the army had been, that had been, you know, people had evacuated in a hurry. and we fix it up when we paint it. And the idea is when you go and you work with your hands and you know, literally, especially after last week, we had a very intense heat wave, you know, so with your sweat and your hard work, you're physically making a connection. You're making an emotional connection, a physical connection, and you feel a part of what you're doing.
I totally understand. You know,
meeting the local people and seeing their surprise, like, what are you doing here? And, you know, they're so touched by the fact that people have taken their vacation time, their school vacation, their work vacation, and they use that time to come and be a part of rebuilding Israel.
Yeah, no, I absolutely understand that. And I can only imagine how enriching it feels to have made that kind of contribution. I've got to tell you, though, between you and me, I'm not sure I'd like to do anything in 48 degree heat. I think I'd leave that for others. That day I'd find a reason to sit and veg in front of an air conditioner, that's for sure. The other thing that just concerns me with the Israeli north is the fact that so many people have left, and you see that they've now opened businesses, coffee shops, shawarma shops, you name it, down in the Merkaz, in the center. And many of them are saying, I can't go back. I've relocated. I've reestablished my life. Do you see that as being a widespread dynamic, or is the press making more of it than it actually is?
I think it exists. From what I've seen, and again, I've never done a survey, but from what I've seen, I think it's a small percentage. I think people go up to the north or, you know, onto the border communities out of ideology.
Yeah.
It's not the first war in the north, and please God, it's the last one, but there's an ideology. Mm-hmm. And people who are uncomfortable going back, I don't think anyone has anything negative to say about that, but there's so many other people who want to come. And these kibbutzim are, you know, filling up with, you know, people who really want to be a part of that, you know, pioneering spirit of being on the, you know, being on the border and protecting the land of Israel.
Missy, a South African Jewish community, as well as an international community, is listening to Chai FM online. What do they do if they want to be a part of your endeavor?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Thank you. The easiest thing to do, Google, Leave Notu Lehibanot. You'll find it up. You'll find it. We have a webpage and all the information about us, how to sign up for one of our programs. And we need volunteers. So, anyone who comes, we're happy to have you. We do volunteering in the morning, educational programming in the afternoon. There's pictures of what we do. Come join us.
There you go. Couldn't wish for anything more. Missy Stein Goldman of Livnot Ulehivanot, thank you for talking to me here on Chai FM today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.